Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God, and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Mm-hmm. Exodus 5 and 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.
And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. And this is very important, especially if you know the history of this story. If you're going to know what comes after this, if you know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians about the children of Israel, this is very important because at this point of the journey, the Bible says, and the people believed. And when they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Profound. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk from a topic of our God is the Lord of the breakthrough. Somebody say that with me. Say, our God is the Lord of the breakthrough. Father, thank you for the word that you ministered in my heart for this next few moments. Give me articulation of speech. Let me say what you've said. Let me declare your truth. Let me speak it with, oh God, the power, oh man, that breaks yokes and destroys, oh God, sickness and infirmities, and it sets us free. God, you've spoken, Lord. You've given us, amen, Genesis, the revelation that we might live the victorious life. So no matter where we would come in life, there would be a word spoken, oh God, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver that would, oh God, enrich us forever. Speak now, Lord, that we might be enriched, not hearers only, but doers of your word, and that our lives might be changed and everybody we come in contact with would see the glorious power of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. This is our prayer this morning, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Our God is the Lord of the breakthrough. In Exodus chapter number 5, in this stage of the journey, Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. It is so important for us to be able to answer, who is the Lord? Who is this God that has come down that is now is going to set you free? It is so imperative that where we are in this Christian journey, that we be able to open up our mouth, and whether he needs to be called Jireh, whether he needs to be called Rapha, whether he needs to be called Shammah, we be able to accurately describe who it is that our God is. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, do you know who your God is? And ministers, you can be released, all right? It is so important for us to know, because when we go to say that we're free, when we go to declare our liberty, when we go to experience life, people that are holding us in bondage are going to ask us, who is this God that has come to set you free? And the sad indictment is, too many of us Christians, we don't know the God that has come to set us free. Too many of us Christians don't know the God that has come to set us free. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, do you know who your Lord God is? Because when you know who he is, it is then easier to describe and to declare what it is that he can do. I'll say that again. Whenever it is that we know who he is, it is then easier to describe what it is and declare what it, he is going to do. It is hard to say it is my time of deliverance when I don't know my God is a deliverer. But when I know my God is a deliverer, it is easy for me to then declare it is my time of deliverance. Do you know who your God is? In the book of Exodus, it is the children of Israel now going out and experiencing redemption. It is the children of Israel going out and experience redemption. And they are experiencing redemption because their God came to visit them. They are experiencing redemption because their God came to visit them. And this is very important, because as we go forward, we're going to find out that Moses and possibly Aaron knew who God was, but a lot of the children of Israel, although they was on the journey, they did not know who it was that had come to set them free. Be careful in understanding who is with you, because everybody with you don't know God like you know God. And we're going to find out later that it was a lot of stragglers and it was a lot of people traveling with Moses and with Aaron. But we're going to find out later on that they did not know the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It is so important for where we are in the history of humanity, for those of us that are calling ourselves Christians, we now have to know who our God is. And in this moment, he wants us to understand he is the Lord of the breakthrough. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. I cannot say this loud enough. You're going to have to know that he's a saving God. You're going to have to. I'm talking about not for grandma knowing, not for mama knowing. I'm talking about you knowing for your own self that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that is worked within me. Because too many on the journey, they talking about Abraham's God, but they don't know Abraham's God. And as we keep studying this text, we're going to find out that although they are getting breakthrough and they are going into deliverance, they didn't know God like that. And where we are and where God is ready to take us, we're going to need to know God like that. Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, where we're going, you're going to need to know God like that. You're going to have to know he's a prayer answering God at a moment notice. You're going to have to know he's a way maker in the time of trouble. You're going to have to know he's a present help in the time. You're going to have to know God for yourself like that. My mom and dad's prayers took me a long ways, but I'm so glad I learned how to pray myself. Okay, y'all didn't say nothing. My mom and dad's belief in God took me a whole long way. In fact, it took me around the world in another season. But I got around the world and I find out that I needed to know God for myself. So I ask you today, who is your God? And do you really know your God like that? You have to answer that. In this text today, it appears that Moses and Aaron and those that are with him, it appears they all know God like that, because at the moment they're all experiencing the same thing. Every now and then you are experiencing what you experience because who you with. I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible, and I'm going to show you that. Every now and then, and we better catch this, every now and then, what we are experiencing, and this is what is happening in Exodus, they are going out into another place because of Moses and because of Aaron and because God had made a promise to them, and they're straggling, but he don't want them to be experiencing because they who they're with. He want them experiencing because they came to know him as Moses knew him. Whenever we're coming out and we're coming out, amen, because of somebody else's, amen, going before us, it is our business to get to know God like Moses knew God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because God's trying to show all of us in this story of redemption that I am the Lord thy God of the breakthrough. And if I broke through for Moses, I'll break through for you, Aaron. And if I broke through for Aaron, I'll break through for you, Miriam. And if I broke through for Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, then even if I don't write your name in the text, I'll still be the Lord God that breaks through for you. But you got to know me like that. Breakthrough is defined as, because I want to go ahead and get to my point. Breakthrough is defined as military movement or advancement all the way through and beyond the enemy's front line of defense. So whenever we talk about breakthrough, it already tells us it's a military term. Somebody say it means a military term. It's a military movement or advancement all the way through and beyond the enemy's front line of defense, an act of instant removing or surpassing of an obstruction or restriction or the overcoming of a stalemate or a significant and sudden advancement. God is trying to let us know when he says, I am the Lord thy God of a breakthrough, that I am a military God. Somebody say we have a military God. If I had time, we go over into Exodus chapter number 15 where they call his name Jah, and he says he is a man of war. Don't ever get it twisted that your God is a punk. Don't ever get it twisted that your God get backed up in a corner and he won't come out fighting. Good God Almighty. Our God is a God of war, and he has military movements. Oh, God, I didn't want to preach it like that. And he has military movements when the enemy come in like a flood that he breaks right through and go right through the line of their defense. So the first thing we learned about breakthrough, that it is a military movement. The second thing we learned about breakthrough, it is an act of instant of removing, of surpassing obstructions and restrictions. It is immediate or an instant removing of surpassing of instructions or restrictions. So not only is our God a God of military and strength, but he is also a God that can show up out of nowhere. And just when we think it's over and it's too late and we should throw up our hands and throw in the towel, God can move in instantly and turn everything around. I don't care what's going on in your family right now. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what, amen, the agnostic said. I don't care about none of that, because the God that I serve, just like that, he can turn everything around. He is a God of the breakthrough, instant, removing and surpassing instruction and restriction. Then he overcomes stalemate with significance and sudden advancement. Psalms 136, 10 through 14, it says, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And he brought Israel out from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endureth forever. Whenever we're talking about deliverance, and it is our time of deliverance, and we're looking at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, we have to get the picture that he stretched out his arm, he stretched out his hand, and just like that, he brought them out. And you've got to understand, they had a history of being up under bondage, wicked taskmasters, for a long time, like some of us been in bondages up under taskmasters for a long time. And we think it's going to be a long time before we come out. But when we study this text, it was an outstretched arm and a strong hand, he brought them out. Just like that. Somebody say it with me, just like that. Just like that. Never be convinced that this is going to last always. Never be convinced that it's going to be like this always. Because just like that, that's why he's called Lord of the Breakthrough. He breaks in that he may break us out, that he may take us in. He breaks in that he may break us out, that he may then take us in. Just like that. Somebody said to me, just like that. This is our time of deliverance. And he is the Lord of Breakthrough. Three things, and I promise you, I will be done. Number one, if we're going to experience the Lord of the Breakthrough, then this text before us becomes very important. In Exodus 4, 27 through 31, God gives us the pattern of how to experience the Lord of the Breakthrough. And I'm going to show it to you. Number one is found in verse 27 and 28. In verse 27 and 28, he tells us if we're going to experience breakthrough, then we need to be on the lookout for those dwellings in the mountain of the Lord. All right? We need to be on the lookout, and I'm ready to go, Mass Media. I'm not sure if you're ready to go, but I'm ready to go. We need to be on the lookout for those that are dwelling in the mountain of the Lord. All right? I think we've mixed up evangelism and divine connectivity. Okay, I'm going to make that a little bit more plain, and then I'm going to get out of here, all right? I think we've missed up evangelism or prophetic evangelism and divine connectivity. We fail to realize that everybody we're meeting is not divine to be divinely connected to, all right? And a lot of folks we're meeting, that's for prophetic evangelism. Somebody said to me, prophetic evangelism. If you're not careful, you will mix up the two. And the people that you're called divine connected, that's evangelism. You ain't saying nothing. And the people that you're supposed to be divinely connected to, you're calling that prophetic evangelism. Hear me. We now need to be the lookout for people that have been dwelling with God. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching anyhow. We need to be looking out for people that are full of God and not empty. I don't know why it is we have a proclivity to be attracted to empty people and trying to be their savior. But in the moment that we're in, we need to find people that are full and people that are dwelling with God, and we need to connect with them. Moses is coming, and God says, Moses, you and Aaron go ahead and meet, and Aaron kisses him. This is a divine connection, but you got to catch where they met. They met at the mount of the Lord. They met at the high place that God had assigned. If we're not careful, we're being pulled down because we done connected with a lot of folks we done met in low places. Okay, y'all ain't gonna say nothing, and y'all ain't gonna tell the truth in here. And God is trying to get us to the Lord of the Breakthrough. And I'm not trying to throw condescend on anybody right here. But sometimes we get it mixed up, and we're trying to get to the Lord of the Breakthrough, and we connecting with folks that need evangelism. And if, okay, y'all gonna make me go all the way there. And folks that need evangelism, y'all better please hear me. It is draining to interact with them every day. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. In order to be a prophetic of evangelism, you gotta be full to give out. But when you're trying to meet the Lord of the Breakthrough, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. You need somebody that's full that meets your fullness, and now they take you to the Lord. Hope y'all can understand what I'm saying here. In the text, Moses and Aaron, they meet at a high place. They meet at a hill of the Lord. They meet at a place that God had designated. Moses is coming down full because what God has said and done, and Aaron is coming full in expectation about what God's going to do. God, you didn't hear what I said. Moses is coming down from talking with God, and he's full about what God's going to do. Aaron is coming up, meeting Aaron, and he's full in expectation of what God is going to do. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Too many times, folks that are in the low place, they want to know how God's going to do it. Are you sure God's going to do it through you? Are you sure he talked to you? somebody at the high place, the excitement is there. The fullness of God. No waste of time and no waste of words. No unnecessary criticism of, are you sure God gonna bring us out? Full of expectation and full of power. Be on the lookout for mountain dwellers. God, y'all please don't make me preach hard today. In this season, Elder LaTanya, be on the lookout for mountain dwellers. You got to get a spirit of discernment. That person just came from meeting with the Lord. Okay, you didn't hear what I said. That person just been in a two-day fast. Y'all ain't saying nothing now. Oh, that person been seeking in my, because hear me, if you can meet somebody that's been in a high place, they can lift you from your low place. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, and I'm almost done, and holding, you can get ready to come doxology me. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, be on the lookout for mountain dwellers. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you a mountain dweller? Are you a mountain dweller? Moses is so full of God because he's coming from talking from God. He don't have no foolishness with him. He doesn't have any wasting of time with him. He has a mission to go complete, and this is what I love. He knows whether or not Aaron believes it or not, I got to go do what I got to do. You can tell folks that are coming from the mountain because they got a determination in their heart. Good God Almighty. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You can tell people, oh God, come on, Holden, you better come on, get ready to doxology, sir. You can tell people that are coming from a hole, from a high place with God because they got a determination in their heart. They ain't worrying about how much they have and what they don't have. They ain't worrying about how it's going to work out. They know that they met with God, and if God met with me, he wants to do something about where I'm going. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, are you a mountain dweller? Are you a mountain dweller? In this season, be on the lookout for mountain dwellers. Absolutely. Prophetic evangelism is important. But this is where discernment is important. When you need to meet the Lord of the breakthrough, you better hear me. Look for mountain dwellers. When you're looking for the Lord of the breakthrough, look for mountain dwellers. Do me a favor. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, are you a mountain dweller? Are you a mountain dweller? High places, mountains, and places set apart to seek God has always been co-joined in the pilgrimage of the journeys of the people of God. High places, mountains, places designated and set apart from Genesis to Revelation have always been a part of the journeying with the people of God. In fact, if you go do a topology study of Jerusalem, it is significantly placed in a high place. Because three times a year, their males had to go up to Jerusalem. I'm looking for some people that have gone up that we might go out. God, I'm almost there. I'm looking for some people that have gone up. Now, I got prophetic evangelism for people that are down low. But that's prophetic evangelism. But when we go meet with these schools, I need somebody that has gone up. So we can see the Lord of breakthrough. When we go do, amen, revival in the streets, I need somebody that has gone up. Because if you've gone up and I've gone up, then we're going to see the Lord of the breakthrough. Ask your name one more time. Are you a mountain dweller? Are you a mountain dweller? If you get a chance, read 1 Samuel chapter number 10. God tells Saul that you're going to go to the hill of God. This is what God tells Saul. You're going to go to the hill of God. He says, and when you come down, you're going to meet some prophets. Oh God, oh God, oh God. He says, you're going to go to the hill of God. And when you come down, you're going to meet some prophets. And then he tells some other things going to happen. And then the Bible says it happens exactly as it said. In order to meet the word of the Lord, sometimes you got to go up. And it takes effort. Are y'all still here? And it takes sacrifice. It takes doing something you have not done before. But check this out, and I'm going to move on. The Bible says that when Saul went up to meet the prophet, he was turned into a another man. It's not enough for us to talk that we've been up. We need some demonstration now. Oh God. Oh God. It ain't enough for us to say we've been on a fast. It ain't enough that we say, hey man, we pray at 4 o'clock in the morning. It ain't enough for us to do all this stuff that we talk about, but then we meet people and they stay the same. The Bible says that when Saul came down and he met the prophets, he was turned into another man. When was the last time somebody met you, talked to you, and they were turned into another creation? This is under the Old Testament, people of God. This is under the Old Covenant. This happened under the Old Covenant. People ought to meet us, and what happened to Peter and Paul ought to happen to us. Amen. Just a shadow from us ought to heal them. Just speaking with us ought to deliver them. Just having a conversation with us ought to lift them into the next level. I submit, we like low places. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching anyhow. It's comfortable low places. That's where the crowd is. It's easy to hide in low places. Y'all ain't saying that. And I believe the introduction to John Maxwell Bible, it says, amen, amen, whenever you ascend to the high place, the travelers get less and less. But I promise you, and I promise you, I'm going to leave this alone. I promise you, it's worth the journey. Oh, God, you shut my soul. I gotta leave this alone. I promise you, if you make the sacrifice to go up and meet with God, what God will say to you, it will change you. It will change your children, your children's children. It will change your neighborhood. You will run into miracle signs and wonder. So don't let nobody keep you in the low place. Go up to the high place and watch yourself get turned into somebody else. Number one, and I gotta leave this alone. Number one, be on the lookout for those dwelling in the mountain of the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.